speaking with Michael Yon. Michael is a has his online magazine, michaelyon-online.com, and has been doing some tremendous work in the field, in the war zones of Afghanistan and Iraq. It is a pleasure and an honor to have him here at Captain's Quarters, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk with me today.
Oh, thank you for inviting me on.
Now, you've just come back from Afghanistan, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, give us an idea of what you're seeing in Afghanistan. What is? Are things getting better, settling down? Are things getting worse?
Well, whereas I believe things are getting better in Iraq despite the great amount of violence, we're making a lot of progress in Iraq. I only spent 15 days in Afghanistan, but I spent most of a year in Iraq. So I must say that in advance, but I did see a lot of violence going on in Afghanistan, and I spoke with a lot of people during those 15 days, military from the American military, British, Dutch, Australian, spoke with government officials, just normal farmers, Afghans all over the place, and this is the most violent year that they've experienced since this war began. And the poppy crop is very large. In fact, you see poppy growing on the sides of the roads and next to every river you go by and even close to the bases. There's poppy in approximately 30 of the 34 provinces.
So this has been something that the American news media actually has covered coming out of Afghanistan from time to time, is the reemergence of poppy and, of course, the crop being heroin there. Is that becoming a huge problem in Afghanistan again?
It is. It is. In fact, a State Department person told me that this is the largest crop in history, and, it's going to be a huge crop. I looked at a confidential private report. This is not a government report, but it was by a private company, and they found that about 80%, for instance, of northern Helmand province, 80% of the arable land was under poppy. And in the southern part of that same province, only about 30%. That's still a huge amount. And the Taliban, actually, who successfully eradicated poppy for 1 year, and 1 year only, are now protecting it. So they've flipped, and they're going to make a lot of money off of it this year. Plus, the mullahs take what they call a zakat, 10% zakat. So the mullahs are going to, get their share as well.
It's like a tithe would be in Western terms.
Exactly.
And this is interesting because the issue, I think, in Afghanistan is the fact that it's really been a civil war for more or less centuries. I mean, it's always been a tribal society there. And do you think that's having an impact on the ability to become, or the inability to become cohesive under the Karzai government as opposed to what's happening in Iraq?
Well, that's what everybody tells me. When you're in Iraq, when you're in Afghanistan, the Afghans tell you over and over and over what you just said. It's a tribal problem. It's very fractious. It's very difficult to unite the people. And then there's, of course, the drug trade, which is exacerbating the problem. There's the Taliban, and then there's Al-Qaeda. And now there is the emergence of suicide attacks now in Afghanistan, which even the Afghans are scratching their head on that one because, see, they never had those before. But when I was in Lashkargah, just in a six-day period, there were two suicide attacks that were very close by, and they happened actually on nearly the exact same spot both times.
Who were the targets of these suicide attacks?
On the first one on April 8th, I was riding with a friend, and we just left them. Lashkargah PRT, or the Provincial Reconstruction Team, and we were driving, actually unguarded, to another base, and we drove right past, and as we left, we didn't hear it, but it hit DynCorp, a truck, an American truck, with wounded three Americans. Luckily, nobody was killed, but it demolished the truck. In that particular instance, the suicide attacker actually got out of a vehicle, and he was wearing the bomb, and walked up to the truck and detonated, and the car drove off. And so when I learned those details, I told my friend Steve, I said, that indicates that there's a cell operating there. And, he said there's never been any bombs there before. He's a contractor. He's been working there since 1997. And sure enough, 6 days later on April 14th, this time it was a SV bed or a suicide car bomb, ran into a British vehicle and injured three Brits and actually wounded one of my friend's employees.
So are they they're targeting the contractors, they're targeting the Westerners that are in Afghanistan right now?
Targeting Westerners while I was, and not just the Westerners. For instance, one of my friend's drivers was murdered while we were there, and he's Pakistani. They shot his semi-truck up with RPGs and small arms and murdered him. And they've murdered quite a few, let's say, outsiders, not always Westerners. For instance, an Indian was just beheaded recently. And, I mean, it's really a daily occurrence. I mean, there's so much fighting going on there. I was very surprised, even though I had done my homework.
Now, Michael, is this... Do you see this as more of a gang war amongst drug lords? Do you see this as a tribal war in order to hold tribal territory? And what is the Karzai government doing about this?
I can't tell you about the big picture there because I never spoke with Karzai and I didn't spend much time in Kabul. Kabul is actually relatively safe, but a lot of what's going on, talking to Afghans, by the way, and that's where I get this from, is just crime. I mean, there's people out there basically just out there robbing people, and they're heavily armed. And a lot of it's Taliban. Now, Taliban has become a catchphrase for, thugs are called Taliban now as well. And it's sort of like become the Al-Qaeda catchphrase, Al-Qaeda is a catchphrase for all kinds of terrorists now. So the violence seems to be multifaceted like in Iraq.
So it doesn't appear to be terribly political. It appeared, or even terribly Islamist, it appears to be more of a turf war.
Yeah, yeah. That's the feeling I had talking with so many people, both military and Afghans and State Department people.
What is the State Department, or what's the United States trying to do to address this? I mean, this is Afghanistan sort of fallen off the radar screen a little bit.
Yes, it has. I was actually hopeful that we were making... as much progress there as we are in Iraq, and I came away actually distressed. I'm actually concerned that in 2007, in the spring, that, our allies in particular, the Brits and the Canadians are fighting like crazy right now, but, nobody seems to know it. I think they're going to start losing a lot of people in 2007 spring because the enemy clearly is getting stronger and the morale is apparently increasing according to the people I talk with. And my friend over there, he has over 1,000 employees, and we talked to some of his Afghan employees, some of the laborers, and he speaks Pashto. My friend speaks Pashto, and we were in special forces together, and he asked how many were going to leave working from him to go harvest we were talking to about like 10 or 12 guys, and he was asking them how many were going to go harvest opium, and they all said we're going to go. So it's a lot of it's just money. They said they're getting a third of the proceeds from the crops, and which is unheard of apparently in Afghanistan. So yeah, there's a lot of things going on over there.
Is it possible that we're going to lose Afghanistan?
I can't answer that. I don't know. I just don't have the answer. And what is losing Afghanistan anyway? To me, winning in Afghanistan is making sure there's no resurgence of Al-Qaeda. The idea of, it's certainly not a safe haven for terrorists anymore. I mean, there's a lot of terrorist activity going on there, and we're losing people there, but we're not getting, it's not a base now for where somebody can, mastermind an attack on the World Trade Centers.
They can't build bases there. They can't build training grounds there, not very easily.
No, I mean, they can be hit because we've got a lot of special forces people there, and so do the British and the Danish and the Australians. But the problem is we only have about 21,000 total troops in Afghanistan. And Afghanistan actually has a lot more people than Iraq does. And we've got more than 150,000 in Iraq. And, Iraq has about 26 million people. And we still don't have enough troops in Iraq, even though we have that almost 150,000, while Afghanistan has about 31 million people, and we've only got in total between the Americans and NATO about 21,000. So a lot of the area is just totally ungoverned and lawless. I mean, but our special forces can launch attacks, at will, anywhere they want. We have helicopters and jets and that kind of thing.
Are you optimistic that they're going to be able to establish democracy there in Afghanistan? I mean, a rational, effective democracy.
No, I'm not actually.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert on Afghanistan, though, so my opinion should not be given too much weight. But I do believe it can happen in Iraq.